So this is from Joshua 2, 1 to 22, and it's Rahab and the spies. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out and take the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from." At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. "I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, you may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us. So all that live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven, above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers, not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all the family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Amen.
For the longest Bible reading ever. We're going to try to get the screen up. Can you just get that nice screen up for me? Thanks. There's something wrong with the technology at the moment, so you're only going to get kind of part of the screen, so I do apologise about that. I did try to shorten that Bible reading, but there was no way I could cut out bits and still get the good bit. Now, I've got a question to begin with. Who is the selfie king? Who is the selfie king? The best person ever at selfies, the king of selfies. Anybody really good at selfies in this room? Don't you know that the answer is always Jesus? I can imagine him with his iPhone out doing a selfie. I just thought I'd begin with a couple of photos of us doing selfies with some of our grandchildren. These are just the two youngest ones. And I've got to say, it was absolutely lovely spending time. I said to somebody earlier on, I was more exhausted after the week with the grandchildren than I was the week running the Great Ocean Road. The running all week is easy compared to looking after these things. We left early yesterday morning and got home last night, and had a very, very good sleep last night. So now, you guys were well blessed with Jay, weren't you? I've got to say, there are very few times in my life where I listen to a sermon more than once. If you weren't here for his first sermon, I would really encourage you to go listen to it. I've listened to it 3 or 4 times since, and I don't think I haven't listened to 3 or 4 times in a row. I just found that particular one where he was just talking about what does it mean for us to be loved by God was just a fantastic message. So I really encourage you to. It's on the website, and it's called What the World Needs. A really brilliant message about what we really do need. And it kind of leads into what we're going to talk about today from this very long Bible reading. The key character in that Bible reading is a woman called Rahab. Now, one of the reasons I'm a Christian and one of the things I love about the Christian faith and the uniqueness of the Christian faith is that God constantly uses moral failures to model his faith and love. If you've ever been in a place in your life where you've thought, I have completely and utterly messed up, there is no way that God could love me in this place, you are in the right place because God can use you. There is nothing you can do, as in Romans, there is no place you can go that's too far away from God. I was reading through Hebrews 11. There are 16 people listed in Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter. If you want to find a list of all the great people of faith, go to Hebrews 11. There are 16 names, and I have just listed the moral failures of half of them. Okay, so that one chapter where the Bible puts up these men and women as great people of faith, this is the failures that they had. Noah cursed his son for seeing him naked after he got drunk. So his son got a cursing because Noah got drunk and laid there and got seen naked. Rahab was a prostitute. King David was a murderer and adulterer. Abraham went around saying to his wife, hey, just tell them you're my sister. And then kings ended up marrying her and having persecutions and plagues come on them because of his lie about his wife, just so he could protect himself. Sarah laughed at God. God had made a specific promise to her and she laughed at him. Jacob deceived his father. Moses murdered an Egyptian and Samson disobeyed and went after Delilah. They're just a list of some of the things that the men and women listed as men and women of faith have done. Does that make you feel slightly better? Probably most of us haven't done all of those things on that list. Well, all of us probably haven't done all of those things on that list. But you know what? They are the kind of people that God uses. Come back to Rahab in this beautiful reading in Joshua 2 where it talks about this woman who took the spies and protected them. Think about living the life of a prostitute. I don't know if you've ever sat down and talked with somebody. We've had numbers of people in our churches who that has been their lifestyle for a while, and you talk to them. Or even people right in the middle of that kind of lifestyle, and the shame and the heartache and the pain that just is in their life. Just imagine this woman, she lived on the wall of the city, probably the most dangerous place of the city, and even the king of Jericho knew who she was because it says the king of Jericho called to her. So she was a woman, when she went walking about, everybody knew her business. Every time a man walked through her front door, everybody knew what was happening. She had this utter shame upon her. There was not even in the Philistine kind of way of doing things was that an honourable way of living. And yet somehow God used her. So not only was she a prostitute, she committed treason. She took these spies from another nation. So imagine at the moment that the Russians kind of came and Putin decided he was going to invade America and invade Australia. And a couple of the spies come in and you protected them. Or even Putin himself, and you hid him in a room somewhere. You'd be seen as a person who's committed treason against your own country. So she was a prostitute and she committed treason. And yet it says of this of her in the Bible, it's just amazing. She's in the lineage of Jesus through her, through Joseph. She was one of the descendants in here, of Jesus. She was called a woman of faith. And it says in James, she was considered righteous. See, one of the things we get wrong in the modern church today is we are very puritanical. Every time somebody does something wrong, particularly if they're a church leader, everybody slams them absolutely. Now, does it justify what people do wrong? No. Is it right that Rahab was a prostitute? No. Is it okay to go and kill people? No. But God sees a different person than what we see. We see the outward things. And I've got to say, those people that I've talked to in the worst of lives are often the people with the softest hearts. And God would rather that your heart is soft on the inside and your behaviour is wrong on the outside than the other way around. God really doesn't have a lot of space for people who are good on the outside, but hard on the inside. So Rahab was one of those people that really, really struggled with life. And yet, she went and blessed the spies. And if I were to summarise the Bible in only one sentence, it would be this. You are blessed to be a blessing. God blesses your life that you can be a blessing to those around you. What is the blessing that Rahab had? She had a home. Now, it might not have been a very good home, but it was a home where she welcomed people in and she protected people. And so she took her blessing and she blessed others. She says of this in that reading, she says this about God, I know that the Lord has given you this land. And later on, for the Lord your God is God of heaven above. See, Rahab was a person who had seen what was happening in the world around her, and she had a sensitivity to what God was doing, and was willing to risk her life to serve the God of the universe. That's what it means to have a soft heart. A person who's willing to say, everything that I have is not for me, but it is to serve He who controls all things. If I put it this way, we are blessed to be a blessing and then we received more blessedness and we keep on blessing. It ought to be something that circles and goes round and round. And so we need to keep on asking ourselves, what is the blessing that God has given me that I can bless others with? And it doesn't have to be much. Remember those stories where it talks about the widow? You know, Jesus happens to be sitting. I find that interesting that Jesus watched the offering. I kind of think we miss something these days by doing our offering electronically. I do it. I know it's easy. But imagine if Jesus was sitting here and you had to come and put your offering into the plate. Jesus was watching. And remember in that beautiful story, he said that the woman who gave the two coins she had gave more than everybody else because she took what she had and used it to be a blessing. She knew that that money given the temple was meant to feed the poor and the widows. Remember that firstly, money given to the temple was meant to be for parties. Secondly, to feed widows and the poor, and only thirdly to pay for the priests in the temple. If you use me as a minister, I should be last on the line of giving paid after we've done all the other things that God calls us to. But this woman, she brought only two coins, and God said, well, the little boy, imagine being in that big crowd. If you've ever been to a cricket match and there's thousands and thousands of people around and he's sitting there, mum had made him his lunch and he had it in his little bag and he's sitting there and everybody's hungry and he's probably looking there. And I think of my little grandson, Benji, he'd be looking at it and he'd quiver if he had to give that food away. I remember once that we had a friend of ours, and our middle daughter, had a chocolate bar, a little chocolate bar. And Richard, just joking, I was his best man, he came up to Cassie and he says, oh, can I have that chocolate? And Cassie goes, and gave it to him. But she was heartbroken by having to give away the only that she had. And yet this little boy was willing to give his food, because that's what he'd been blessed with. And he was asking the question, how do I bless others? I can't always remember what stories I've told you, but I'll remind you, if I've told you before, of one of the most significant things anybody's ever done for me. When in our first church, Bishop Dale Church of Christ in Christchurch, Church Manse is about five houses down from the church. And did Pete like mowing lawns? No, Pete did not like mowing lawns. And so our lawn was high. And I remember one of the elders come down one time and said, look, you really need to mow your lawn. Said, if it really concerns you, you're welcome to mow the lawn yourself. But I did commit to mowing the front lawn, okay? And I remember a mate of mine called Paul, and he turned up one day and he just mowed my lawns. And it was higher than that. And it's just always struck me, he knew what would bless my heart, and he came and blessed it. And I still remember that. That's 28, 29 years ago. It's still one of the most significant things that anybody's ever done for me. Not because it was a big thing, but because he understood my heart and was willing to serve me. So I want you to take a few minutes now, otherwise our service is going to be incredibly short, which is not a bad thing. But I'm going to get you to share with somebody next to you how somebody has used a little thing to bless your life. So try not to think of it could be a big thing, but it could be just a really small thing, but you remember it many, many years later. So take a few minutes and just share some of the ways in which people have blessed you in your life. Wow, there's a lot of blessedness happening around here, isn't there? Yeah, wait. Yeah. Wait. So I'm gonna see if a few people want to share. Okay. Are you gonna? Okay. We're gonna start here.
I went and saw Jacob in his amazing dream coat, and at one session of it, a covered wagon came into the stage, and it was Jacob and Sons. And the brothers were, you know, describing that Joseph was stolen or in the... I think they didn't... They said it. So he was murdered. And then they didn't tell their father that they had sold him as a slave. So when the wagon went out, the wagon had Joseph and Sons on it, and... the leader wrote when it was going out, -1, Jacob and Sons -1. So that's what happened to Joseph.
Okay, other things that people have been blessed with, who's willing to share one or two? Awesome, there's always somebody who's willing to share.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Yeah, I was fortunate that a couple of months ago that Graham came up and he said, would you like to come to church on Sunday? I said, why not? I couldn't get to my own church where I used to go at Coromel, and he offered to give me a lift here. Well, when I got here, I didn't just find a church, I found a home. And I was blessed. And every time I've got here, Graham's picked me up, bought me, because I don't drive anymore. And I've been blessed by having that happen in my life.
Awesome. Right. So seeing your vehicle as a gift for other people is brilliant. Yeah. What about other things that people have, somebody's blessed them with?
Ours all revolved around food and people bringing meals when you really needed them. And one of our daughters was sick and they were trying her on this really weird diet, and I'm not a cook and I just had no, like, it just, you had to, yeah, it was weird. It was a white diet. And another lady at church just said, give me the instructions. So I gave her the instructions and she went away and all these meals came back. It was fantastic.
Somebody else want to share an example? Somebody from this side, good on you.
Hi, it's like when Linda said everything evolves around food. I said that's a cue for me to share my experience, I mean our experience. What we shared with him, it was about food related. But mine particularly is like I had a couple of operations when I was in Malta. And the last one was my ankle, so I couldn't walk. I was on crutches, but in the beginning it was very difficult to get used to crutches. And I had a neighbor, sister in Christ, living above us, a couple. And every day she will come down the stairs and she will bring me a meal. And she will offer to take my washing up the roof, because in Malta we put our washing on the roof. So it was this meal. Some of them were very, very simple meals, like just no meat, no, but they were so delicious. Even now, every now and then when I cook these meals, I remember of her bringing me for a couple of months. She was bringing down meals for me and Dimitri. So that was a blessing.
Peter, I've got my own microphone.
Go for it.
All I wanted to say was that I think you can bless people by saying thank you. If you see people doing something that's, you know, good, I know they don't do it for that, but just a little thank you here and there, everywhere, is extremely valuable. That's all. You can have the mic back.
Yeah. you just reminded me, one of the things I do when I'm with my family is I'm generally the one that gets on the ground and plays with the kids. I just get down there and when we were down Horsham, one of the sister of my son-in-law actually mentioned to Linda afterwards, she said, he just got down and played with them. And I enjoy it anyway. Sometimes I don't want to talk to adults, so I just want to have a chat with kids. It's more fun that way sometimes. But also, I've just grown up in this environment. Isn't it nice when mum gets some time to herself? You know, even in our culture today, mum generally is the one that has to look after the kids. And I've always just seen it as a little thing that I can do to give mum a little bit of time. And it really doesn't take much to bless, and you don't bless and honour people for the point of trying to get a reward. You bless and honour them because God made them as worthy of blessing and honouring. You probably all know the story, but I'll tell you it to you again. An old man was walking down the beach one day and he sees thousands and thousands of starfish on the beach. And he sees in the distance a little child, and as the child's coming down, the child is picking one up, throwing it into the water, picking it up, throwing it into the water. And eventually the little child gets down to the man, and the man says, so what are you doing? And Kid said, I'm just throwing them back. He said, you know you're not making any difference, don't you? There are thousands of them. And the little kid says, as she picks up the little starfish, it makes a difference to this one, and threw it back in the ocean. We often forget the difference that we are making. You are blessed to be a blessing. There's that story. Let me finish with this before we go into communion. In Nehemiah, that great story of the wall being rebuilt. And within, I can't remember how many days, 70-something days, where the wall was rebuilt. And it was rebuilt because everybody built the wall in front of their house. God doesn't ask you to go looking for things to do. God puts things to do in your sphere now, and you've just got to have eyes to see what God is doing. I learnt more from evangelism from my mother than anybody else, and my mother would say, all you have to do is see what God is already doing in that person's life and point it out. You don't take God to people. God is at work. But we're the ones that have eyes to see and say, did you see? As I was walking in Horsham, I'd go for an 8-kilometre walk every morning, or most mornings, and I'd see the sun come up in the stars. And you look at the immensity of the starry night, and you think, my God made all of that. But then you look down, and you go, my God made this as well. So as we come to communion this morning, as we remember what God has done for us, we're going to play a video in just a moment. And let me just find my notes here. Somewhere in there. It's called I Still Believe. I just want you to watch the music as the song comes up and just listen. And then partway through, I'll then get us to take the emblems. But it's a beautiful words, and just listen, and it's talking about us and our relationship with God. So if you could bring up that video and get that video playing for us.
I choose to sing when I can hardly breathe out a breath. I choose to stand when all I wanna do is give up. I choose to trust when my whole world is falling apart. I choose you, Jesus, 'cause I still believe. Through it all, I still believe. You are wonderful. Never given up on me. You've never given up on me. I choose to love when everything around me screams hate. I choose to heal when I have walked through sorrow and pain. I choose your name, the only name that's worthy of praise. I choose you, Jesus, 'cause I still do. is your God. We will say He's right here with us. The world may say, where is your God? We will say He's right here with us. The world may say, where is your God? But we will say, He's right here with us. The world may say, where is your God? But we will say, He's right here with us. His name is Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus comes and he says, take this. This is my body broken for you. Let us eat together. He lifted the cup and he said, this is the blood of my body given for you. Take it and remember me. We began with a prostitute, and God never gave up on her. And God looks at us now and he says, I've never given up on you. Lord God, we thank you that Creator of the universe would stoop down and come a man to forgive us our sin, that we might walk with you, be blessed by you, and be a blessing for our world. Amen. Just as we sing our last song, I forgot to say this one quote, which I thought was really good, actually. When you ask God to help the world, God looks at you and he gives you as the gift to help the world. Let's sing together our last song.